podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So if you haven't caught on yet this morning, our theme is freedom. And this Wednesday is the 242nd anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which we constitute as the birth of our nation. And at the risk of their lives, 56 men signed the bottom of that document, some in larger script than others, John Hancock. And they signed that document knowing that they could be signing their death warrant if things didn't turn out the way that they had hoped. And they officially, on that day, broke ties with England to escape the growing tyranny, tariffs, taxation of the crown. And if you have an opportunity, look up the Declaration of Independence online and read it sometime. You'd be surprised to find out some of the things that they were complaining about, that the king was up to, and recognize that over the years, maybe we've given away some of those freedoms back to our government. But that's just the way of the world. Freedom is a very valuable commodity and has a tendency to slide if we allow it to. So it's good to be reminded about our freedom as people in this nation, but even more importantly, as the people of God. So I remember when I was an elementary school student, and I had a fellow student who used to routinely use the line, "It's a free country." So that's why I said that earlier this morning. It's free country, right? And I'm sure the teacher was impressed with his grasp of civics, but not so impressed with his application of his teachings and the principle of freedom. So the teacher might say in the course of a math exam, "I did not give you permission to leave your seat and walk to the pencil sharpener." We used to have pencil sharpeners back when I was in school. Maybe they still do. You still got pencil sharpeners? Okay, we still got them. All right, I thought we were into mechanical pencils now. So she would say, "I did not give you permission to get up and walk to the pencil sharpener." And of course, you know, my buddy, he would say, "It's a free country. It's a free country." That was his response. And I think he also felt like it was a free country, so he was able to scan the papers of all of his fellow students as he walked to the pencil sharpener. Eventually, however, the teacher would say, "Young man, if you walk to the pencil sharpener one more time without my permission, I will exercise my freedom to walk over to your desk and put a big fat red F on the top of your paper." And so we all learned a lesson about freedom that day. Freedom is a wonderful thing, but it has its limits, and it comes with responsibility. And our freedoms are limited by all sorts of factors. Here in this country, you do not have the freedom right now to blink your eyes and be seated in a beach chair facing the Atlantic Ocean. You don't have the freedom to do that. Why? Because your freedom is limited by your physical abilities, right? Your freedom is limited by your physical ability. Some things you can't do because you can't physically do them. So, yeah, we have freedom, but our freedom only goes so far. Now, you can get in the car, and you can drive to the beach, and it'll take you a number of hours, depending on how fast you drive. But if you drive too fast, you're going to find that your freedom is going to be limited yet again. Physical factors have something to do with our freedom. Also, you do not have the freedom to just walk into Walmart this afternoon, take a television off of the shelf, and walk out without paying. You can't do that. If you do, you're going to find that your freedom is going to be restricted in an even greater way, possibly including the freedom to sit in the back of a squad car with handcuffs on. Your freedom is limited by the laws of the land in which you live. There are legal boundaries to your freedom as well. So our freedom as America is a wonderful thing, but you got to understand that it's limited. We have responsibility here. We have physical abilities that we cannot exceed. We also have legal boundaries to our freedom, which we cannot exceed. And if you do, there are consequences. There are some things that you have the freedom to do that may be within your rights in this country, but are not within the realm of decency, however. I mean, you have the right to free speech, but that doesn't mean that you can choose to exercise that right in an indecent way in the wrong place. You will find that right taken away quickly. Also, you'll find by the dictates of the society in which we live that your freedom is limited by cultural norms, by society, by collective wisdom, that there are boundaries in this social construct to your freedom as an American. So our freedom is restricted by physical ability, by legal boundaries, and by social decency. If you use your freedom to go beyond those boundaries, you will find your freedom restricted in this world. We understand this then. We live in a free country. And our country was founded on the principle of freedom from a tyrannical kingdom at that time of England. And we emphasized the virtues of God-given rights, that God has given us rights as human beings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But even these God-given rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, have limits. If your pursuit of happiness infringes on somebody else's well-being, then your liberty will be restricted. So another document that came out of our American heritage is the Constitution of the United States. It's supposed to be the law by which we run our country. The law that was deemed correct at that time, in which should not be up for conversation in our day, but should be interpreted as it was written. That Constitution protects your freedom. So in that Constitution, there are some things that are true. Like, for example, you have the right to carry a firearm. But you do not have the right to carry a firearm wherever you want to carry it. There are restrictions on our freedoms. You have the right of free speech, but you do not have the right to slander another person and speak falsehoods in a court of law. And I think you get the point. It's a free country, but freedom is never unlimited. There are boundaries to our freedom, and we understand that as a people. In fact, freedom is dangerous, if you think about it. And this is why so many governments throughout human history in this world have moved to restrict freedom, because they don't trust people. And when you allow people to have freedom, you cannot predict what their actions will be. And when you cannot predict what their actions will be, you lose control as a government. And so government seldom moves from controlling people to giving them freedom. Typically, it moves in the opposite direction. It begins with freedom, and little by little, that freedom erodes and control of the government becomes more and more strict. That's just the way human government works. So yes, it is a free country, but freedom comes with responsibility. And if you use your freedom in this country as a good citizen to contribute to the well-being of our country and our society, while you seek to provide a good life for your family, you should not find any restrictions or face any restrictions to your freedom beyond having to pay taxes and obeying the law. However, if you use your freedom in this country in an irresponsible way, that breaks the law and infringes on the freedom of others, you can expect trouble. So in other words, you have the freedom to succeed in this country, but you also have the freedom to make a mess out of your life. And that's what freedom is all about. Truth of the matter is that we live in a free country, and we are also free people because of what Christ did for us on the cross. But we understand with freedom comes responsibility. So what is true of you as an American is also true of you as a Christian. As a believer in Jesus Christ, your freedom is restricted by some factors. So we're going to take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and look at this verse together that will sort of serve as a guide for us this morning as we talk a little bit about freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So let me put the Message version up on the screen for you. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. So you see that Christ has given us freedom, but there's always a risk that comes along with that freedom. There's always the possibility and the opportunity for us to give that freedom away. Jesus went to the cross for your freedom. He died there in your place, and by believing in Him as your Lord and Savior, you have freedom. You've been given that gift. So this brings up some questions that we're going to answer this morning that always come along with freedom. And those questions are this. The first one, what are we free from? What are we free from? Because whenever we talk about freedom, we talk about the release from something. And the second question is, what are we free to? Because we're freed from one thing and to another thing. It's you're free from being imprisoned to being free to live out your life. And then last question, when it comes to our Christian faith, what are our responsibilities as a free people? What did God have in mind when He set us free in Jesus Christ? What was it that He wants from us as a free people? What are we free to do? What are we free to become? The problem is this, when you are set free, you can get lost. You can make bad choices and decisions. You can do stupid things. You can get in deep, deep trouble. That's the way it is with freedom at times. I remember a number of times thinking about the responsibility that we have as parents in teaching our children about freedom. That really, as we raise our children, we little by little give them opportunities to be free. And they learn that if they abuse that freedom, that they will lose some of that freedom. And so we give them a curfew and tell them they need to be in by a certain time. And we might give them the curfew a little bit later and a little bit later. We might arrive at a time and when they grow up and we say, well, you don't need a curfew anymore. I trust you. But if they come back too late, you might put that curfew back in place. And so we allow them to go as long as they tell us where they're going. And then eventually, little by little, we give them more and more freedom until they fly away as adults and they have all the freedom that they can handle. The scary thing is when we restrict our children and don't give them any freedom, and then they reach the point of adulthood where suddenly they have freedom. So when I was a student in Bible college, I recognized some of these kids that would come into Bible college, and I gave them the name of Watermelon Seed Kids. And I may have talked about this at one other time, but the way this works is this, that their parents had restricted them and kept them in the rules for all of their lives, tightly keeping a rein on them. And then they decided, I'm going to let my child go to Bible college, because when they get to Bible college, it'll be like, you know, Sunday school. So I'm going to allow them to do that. The kid would go off to school and discover freedom for the first time. Mom and dad aren't there to watch your every move, tell you what to do and what not to do. And so what would happen? What happens the harder you squeeze on a watermelon seed? The farther it shoots out. And that's what happened to many of these kids that I met in Bible college who came from these ultra-restrictive parenting backgrounds where they would just shoot out. They couldn't handle their freedom. They didn't know what to do with it. And so they just went crazy with it. If only someone had taught them little by little how to live in a free way, responsibly. But it didn't happen for them. See, God gave us freedom through Jesus Christ, but we need to understand that freedom and we need to respect that freedom. So, in Christ, what is it that we are free from? Well, in the book of Galatians, where this verse is found that we read this morning, Paul is writing to a group of churches that he planted. And when he planted those churches, he taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ came and died for your sins, and if you put your faith in Him, you are free from your sins. You are free from the law. And now you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he taught those churches. Unfortunately, some people came into the church after Paul left, and they began to teach that you need to go back to the law in order to please God. And in order to please God, you need to live according to those laws found in the Old Testament. And so they were putting restrictions on people. Like, if you really want to be a full-blooded member of our church, you need to be circumcised, like it says in the Old Testament. You need to live according to all of the dictates of the Old Testament. You need to put yourself under the law again. And so Paul wrote this letter to the church there, the churches of Galatia, to tell them that that's not the way it should be, that Christ has set us free. And so we learn from this book and from other books of the Bible what it is that we have been set free from as Christians. One thing we've been set free from is the tyranny of obeying impossible rules. And if you look at the Old Testament law, you'll realize that it was impossible for someone to obey that law in full. And God put that law there for a purpose. It was so that the people who were trying to live up to that standard would realize that they were sinners and that they would come to God for His grace, for His forgiveness, and they would come humbly before God. But instead, they became more restrictive and added more laws to the ones that God had established in the first place. So we are free from the tyranny of obeying impossible laws because of what Jesus did for us. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "All who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." If you don't do everything written in the book of the law, if you don't live according to the law 100%, you are cursed. So what do we do about that? Well, Jesus came, and we read then in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.'" Jesus came and He took our place on that cross. He took the curse for us so that we could be free from this tyranny of obeying impossible rules. But in addition to that, we are also free from the slavery of overcoming inescapable sin. So each one of us is born with a sin nature. And it's like we are in bondage. We are imprisoned to that sin nature so that we try to do good, but we can't because we continuously fall into sin. And because of our sin, we are all headed to an eternity separated from God in hell. And so not only are we trying to live the tyranny of obeying impossible rules, but also slavery of overcoming this inescapable sin. We cannot on our own escape the chains of sin. So we read about this also in the Bible. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, "What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." And so none of us can escape the power of sin in our flesh on our own. We're in bondage. We're in chains. We are not free. We are enslaved by the sin nature. But then Jesus comes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so Jesus came in order that we might have victory over the curse of the law and the power of sin in our lives. We have been set free from the curse of the law and the power of sin, from the tyranny and the slavery of the law and of sin. So that's what we've been freed from. Next question is, well, what are we freed to? What are we freed to? What does our life look like now that we have been freed from sin in Christ? We read about this in the Word of God as well. We read that we are told to enjoy life now as an approved child of God. That is your responsibility. That is your freedom now, that you have been freed from these impossible rules, from that law. Now you are approved by God. He loves you and He is pleased with you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wants you to enjoy your life as His child because He is fully pleased in you. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, says, so the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. We no longer need that law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You are now a child of God. So we are to enjoy life as approved children of God. And in Christ, we are also free to glorify God by the power of the indwelling Spirit. So we are no longer under the law, but what happened in Christ was that we received the Holy Spirit into our lives, that now we have this guide to lead us step by step to glorify God in this world. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. And so we have the Holy Spirit living within us to teach us what it means to glorify God and to set us on along the road of trusting in Him, enjoying life as His child, and glorifying God. In other words, we have nothing to prove because we are already approved by God. But what about the responsibility of our freedom? What is the responsibility of your freedom this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ? What are you free to do? What is it that God had in mind when He set you free? What are the limits to that freedom that He might set upon us? Well, one of those things is that we are free to godly living. And we read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 12, where it says, I have the right to do anything, right? It's a free country. I have the right to do anything, you say. But Paul tempers that with this, but not everything is beneficial. Well, I have the right to do anything. It's a free country. Paul tempers that with, I will not be mastered by anything. What is Paul saying? Well, imagine if you were to set an eagle that had been injured and then rehabilitated, or an eagle that had been raised as a baby that had been found in the nest, abandoned, and you were to raise that eagle to full adulthood, and then you were to say, I'm going to set this eagle free. Then you go to the mountaintop and just set the eagle free. Your expectation for that eagle is that it will soar. It will soar. It will build a nest. It will live a life of beauty as eagles are supposed to do, right? But what would happen if you looked down and that eagle decided that it would go and wallow in the dirt like a chicken and just peck away at bugs and seeds along the ground? It'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? To see a bald eagle along the ground pecking away like a chicken. No, eagles were meant to fly. They were meant to soar. They're the kings of the air. Well, this is what it's like for us if we take the freedom that Christ has given us and we use it for things that for which it's not intended. We are responsible in our freedom for godly living. We have been set free by Jesus Christ, not to wallow in the dirt, but to soar like the eagles, to glorify God in all that we say and we do, to be holy as He is holy, to live exemplary lives to the world around us, to be the people that God has created us to be in this world. That is why Christ has set you free. So use your freedom to live your life in a godly way, to soar like an eagle, not to wallow around in the dirt, picking away at worms like a chicken. Another responsibility of our freedom is to godly loving. One of the reasons that God has set you free in Jesus Christ as a believer is for love. Not just to live like He lives, but to love like He loves. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So yeah, we could take the freedom that Christ gave us and say, awesome, I've got freedom now. I'm going to heaven. I have a relationship with God. Now I'm going to go off and just enjoy myself. It's not the point of the freedom that God has given to us. He's given us the freedom to serve one another humbly in love that we might represent Him well in this world and be His people. I've seen some videos on YouTube, and I thought about showing some of them to you, and then I realized there are going to be children here, and I was disturbed by some of these videos, so I thought, if I'm disturbed by them, then somebody else is going to be even more disturbed by them. So I'll just explain how these videos work, and if you want to look them up yourself, you can. But be advised, they can be disturbing. And basically what these videos are about is people who have gone and they have set animals that were raised in captivity free. Sometimes they're just little bugs. I had this video of a little girl who's got butterflies that she's raised that were sent to her, and she watched them turn into the cocoon and then into butterflies, and then she set them free. The butterfly begins to fly away, and immediately a bird comes and boom! Some of you are laughing. I said it was disturbing. Oh. But you hear the little girl, no, no. She learned a lesson about the circle of life right there, you know. But yeah, that. Sometimes when you set something free, you take a risk. Right, here's another video, and there is this young man who has had a mouse in his room and somehow is able to trap the mouse in the bottom of a garbage can. He goes out and he shakes the garbage can out, lets the mouse free, and he says, go, be free, live your life. And the mouse runs off into the snow. It was in the winter. And suddenly you see a hawk come out of nowhere and boom, flies off of that mouse. Right, soars like an eagle. Also, there's a man who's releasing a squirrel into the wild, and he's petting the squirrel, loving on the squirrel, and the squirrel's, he puts it on a tree and says, go ahead, climb the tree, climb the tree. The squirrel starts climbing the tree, and a house cat comes out of nowhere, boom, grabs that squirrel and runs off with it. They're like, no, no. There was one more. There was a worship's... I could go on all day, but there is a worship service taking place in a park, and they're setting doves free. And the minister says something about these three doves, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He lets them. The only problem is they set them free in this park that's next to an interstate highway, and the doves take off and immediately go right toward the highway, and boom, a truck hits them. Feathers everywhere. Feathers everywhere. And everyone say, no, no. I just want to demonstrate to you that there is risk in freedom. That people can take the freedom that is given to them, living in a free country or being free in your faith in Jesus Christ, and use it to do some really bad, stupid things and find could be the end of your days, could be the end of your freedom. That's the risk of freedom that we take. And so I'm sure that God had to think this thing through. If I send my son to die on the cross to take them their place, if I send my son to fully obey the law and then to set them free from the curse of that law, if I send my son to come and to die on that cross and they're forgiven of all their sins, if I send my son to set them free, what are they going to do with that freedom? What are you doing with your freedom? It's a question this morning. How are you living according to the responsibility of your freedom? So what are you free to do as a believer? Well, here's the way I look at it. If it represents God well and it loves others well, then feel free. It's a question to ask. If you come to a point in your Christian life where you say, should I or should I not do X, Y, Z? You put the thing in there. Should I do blank? Here's a question you should ask. Does this glorify and represent God well? Because I'm called to godly living. And does this love others well? Because I'm called to godly loving. And if it fulfills both of those things, it's something that glorifies God and represents God well in this world, and if it's something that demonstrates love for other people and doesn't infringe on them, then feel free. Feel free. That's the freedom for which we have been set free in Christ. And I pray that we'll use it to do His will in this world and to be His people and His children, approved by Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning, and we are grateful for the freedom that we have in this nation. But we are even more grateful, O Lord, for the freedom that we have as your children, set free by Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you would just continue to help us to walk with you in this great freedom. Help us to enjoy it, to experience the fullness of it, but help us, Lord, to always lead lives, Lord, that are characterized by godly living and godly loving. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.